B'siyata d'shemaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Lamed. We're going to start 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Choftes Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Kol shehu lifton. And we're going to use the term lifton a little bit now in this Gemara. The word lifton means something that's eaten with bread. It's not eaten as a meal on its own, as part of a meal on its own. It's eaten together with the bread. Kol shehu lifton, any food item that's eaten that accompanies another food item, accompanies bread, kedei lechil boi, the amount of that food item that you can use, and it's a good eruv tchumin we're talking about, is as much as you would use with the bread, with the meal, with 2 meals, an average 2 meals. Kol she'enoi lifton, anything that's not eaten with bread, it's eaten on its own. Kedei lechil heimenu, then the amount that you need of that particular food item to be enough for an eruv is as much as you would eat of that food item if it were the whole meal. And you need 2 meals, as much as you would eat if this food item was 2 meals, that's how much you need to use for the eruv. Bosor chai, which is literally translated as raw meat, can you use that for an eruv? We assume that yes. It's a discussion here in the Mefarshim as to how you can use raw meat. Raw meat is not really edible, at least not in most places. So others have a little bit of a different explanation what raw meat actually means. Possibly it means salted meat, but either way, the literal translation is raw meat. Kedei lechil heimenu, that since raw meat is not eaten with bread, if you want to use meat as your eruv, you have to put as much meat as you would eat if the meat was 2 meals. Bosor tzli, roasted meat. And now we're going to have a discussion. Is roasted meat considered a lifton, something that accompanies bread, and then you just need a little bit of roasted meat as much as would accompany 2 bread meals? Or is it not considered a lifton, and then you have to have as much of this roasted meat as you would need if you had 2 meals of roasted meat, which is obviously much more. Rabba Omar kedei lechil boi. Rabba holds it is considered a lifton, and therefore you only need a little bit of the roasted meat as much as would accompany 2 meals. Rav Yosef Omar kedei lechil imenu. Rav Yosef says it's not considered a lifton, and if you choose to use roasted meat for an eruv, you have to use as much as you would need if you were eating 2 whole meals of roasted meat. Omer Rav Yosef mino aminolo. How do I know that the roasted meat is not considered a lifton, which means that roasted meat is even eaten, or not even eaten, roasted meat is eaten on its own, not to accompany bread. Dehani parsoi, the Persians ochli tavhoki bleinam, because in Persia it was a custom to eat sliced pieces of roast meat without bread. Says Rav Yosef, so you see, it's not a lifton. If it's not a lifton, you need much more in order for it to be enough for a valid eruv tchumin. Omer le Abaya. Abaya is now asking on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that since in Persia they do not eat the roasted meat as a lifton, and therefore they need a larger share for the eruv, so too, according to Rav Yosef, the whole world who wants to use, anyone in the whole world who wants to use roasted meat, has to use the bigger share, as would have to be the case in Persia. Asks the Gemara, Omer le Abaya, Uparsoi have a ruba de alma? Can what they do in Persia dictate what the whole world has to do? We understand that in Persia they have to be machmir, because in Persia it's not a lifton. Why? In Persia they had lots of meat, there was lots of availability to have roasted meat, and therefore they did not eat it just as a lifton, they ate it on its own. But in the whole world, they have to follow that. But none we learnt in a brisa. Big de aniyim le aniyim. If you have a piece of garment, and exactly the details of when this applies and how this applies, we're not going into now, but in order for something to become tomei, it needs to be of significant measure. So poor people, they give significance even to much smaller pieces of cloth. Just 3 etzpois by 3 etzpois, 3 fingers widths by 3 fingers widths. Rich people, however, who can afford to throw out the smaller pieces of cloth and just use the larger ones. For them, it's a piece of cloth or material is only significant if it's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. So for a rich person, it's clear that a piece of cloth less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim cannot be mekabel tuma because it's not worth anything. The question is, for a poor person, who for him there's significance in a piece of cloth less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, will his cloth become tuma even at smaller size? So it says in the Braisa, big de aniim la'aniim, a small piece of cloth, which is even less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, for aniim will become tomei, big de ashirim la'ashirim. And for rich people, only a bigger piece of cloth would become tomei. Aval big de ashirim la'aniim loy. But if you have a piece of material that for a rich person would not become tomei, because it's too small, for poor people that would not be the case, and it would become tummy. So you see clearly that we do not say that since the rich people only give significance to a bigger piece of material, for the poor people also a piece of material, a piece of cloth less than 3 by 3 tefachim will become tummy. We say no, since for you poor people the piece of material of up of anything down to 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois is significant, it will become tummy. So in the same way as the poor people do not, the halachas of tumah for them are unique to them and they do not follow the halachas of the rich people, so to here, why should the whole world follow the halachas that would apply in Persia? V'chiteima, are you going to say, v'hachalachumra, in the case of the poor people, we're being machmir on them. We're saying that even a piece of material that's less than 3 by 3 tefachim can become tomei for them because they give it significance. Therefore, they do not follow the rich people's halachas. But in the case of Persia, on the contrary, since for them it's not a lifton, and to make an eruv in Persia, you need much more roasted meat, which is a chumrah, a stringency, we're saying that will be machmir, and the whole world will follow Persia to need a larger measure. If so, there's no question on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef will agree to what it says in the Braisa with Tuma, and nonetheless he'll say that the whole world has to be Machmir like Persia. Is that the case? Is that how we're going to answer Rav Yosef? V'atanya, this seems to contradict another Braisa. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Imir, Ma'arvin l'choyle ul'zokin k'dei mezoynei. If an old person or a sick person wants to make an Eruv, even though for an average person what he would eat in a meal is a substantial amount of food, an old person or a sick person who eats much less, for this person, if he needs to make an Eruv, he can put much less food down, as much as would suffice for this particular person who's relying on this Eruv. And similarly, Leravson, a glutton, somebody who eats much more than the average, he's got an unusually big appetite, Besuda Beinonis shall call Adam, for him it would suffice to have just a regular meal for an average person. He does not need to put so much food that would satisfy his own needs or his own desires. So you see clearly where even in the case of Eruvin, where it would be a chumrah, a stringency, if we told an old or sick person or this glutton to, that means if we told the old or sick person to put as much food as an average person would have, or if we told this glutton he has to put as much food as he normally eats, that would be a chumrah. And we see here in this braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that we go lekula, and we are lenient with Eruvin. And we do not say that the old person or the sick person follows the rest of the world. If so, why should the rest of the world follow the Persians and need a larger measure of roasted meat? Says the Gemara Kashya, indeed this is a question on Rav Yosef. Why should the whole world follow Persia? And we do not have a good answer in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Now we're referring to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. What Rav Shimon ben Elazar just now said, that for a sick person or a poor person, it suffices if he puts an eruv of the amount of food that this particular person needs. And the glutton, even though he normally needs much more food, he does not need to put that much food. He can put down as much food as an average person would eat. Umyomar Rav Shimon ben Elazar achi. Could Rav Shimon ben Elazar have said this? Vatanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We have another braisa also with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And there we see that Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems to have a different approach. What does it say in this brisa? So we'll start with just reading the words, and then we'll introduce what we need for this brisa. Reb Shimon ben Elozar Oimer, Oig Melech HaBashon, Pischoi Kamilu'oi. Even though Oig Melech HaBashon has a different measure to other people, nonetheless, we do not follow the average-sized person. We follow Oig Melech HaBashon, seeing that since this particular person, Oig Melech HaBashon, has unique measurement, we're machmir. So too, the glutton, even though this glutton is eating much more, his unusually large appetite, he should need more food for his Eruv, even though average people need less. What's going on here? So the aloch is like this. If there's a dead person inside a home, it's called an oihel. He's sharing the same roofing, the same tent, literally translated as whatever else is in the oihel, in the home, and anything in the oihel will become an av hatuma. What's with the doorways themselves? We're not talking about the area beyond and outside the doorways, which is a different halacha, which we don't need to discuss now. But within the doorways themselves, within the airspace of the doorway. So that depends. If the doors are open, then it's comfortable to assume, it's a discussion, it's comfortable to assume that the area in the doorways is considered as part of the oihel, and any food items or utensils in the doorway will become tummy. What happens if the doors are closed? If the doors are closed, then the airspace in the doorways, but outside the door, on the other side of the doorway, that technically speaking is not part of the oihel, and therefore it should not be tummy. So if the doors are closed all the while that the dead person is in the home, then whatever is in the doorway outside the door will not become tummy. However, there's a halacha called soif tummy lotzis. If we know, and we can take for granted, that this particular door is definitely going to be opened in order to remove the deceased person, to remove the corpse from the room, because the dead person is not going to stay there, he has to go and be buried. So they're going to take him out from one of the doors. If we can assume and take for granted that a particular doorway is going to be opened to remove the dead person, it's as if it's opened now, and anything in the doorway, even when the door is closed, is going to become tummy. That's the halacha of soif tummy lotzis. The question is, under what circumstances can we assume that a dead person is going to be removed from a particular exit when there are a number of different exits and a number of different options? So that really depends on what the options are. And the halachas go like this. In the event that there's a number of doors and all of them are four tfachim or more, then we don't know which doorway is going to be used. Any one of the entranceways could be used potentially to remove the dead person, and Chazal took on that four tfachim by four tfachim is enough to get a corpse, a dead body, out of a doorway, out of a room. Therefore, if all the entrances or exits are four tfachim by four tfachim or more, then even if they're all closed, since we do not know which one is going to be chosen to remove the dead person, all of them potentially could be that one door, and the airspace of all those doors are going to become tomei, even if they are all closed now. If all the doorways are less than four tfachim, the same applies. One of those doorways are going to have to be broken open to make space for the dead body. We don't know which one. So if all the exits are less than four tfachim by four tfachim, they would all become tomei. And this is true across the board. There's another halacha, and this is your classic halacha of soif tomei lotzis, and that is if one door is four tfachim wide, all the other openings are less than 4x4, then we take it for granted that a person is not going to break open and widen a small exit if he can go through a regular exit. So the one door, which is 4x4 tfachim, is the one that's going to become tomei, or the airways are tomei even if the door is closed. All the other entranceways that are smaller than 4 tfachim, they are tohir, because the tumah is not going to, is not slated to go out of there, all the while that the doors are closed, the airspace under those doorways outside the door are all tahir. So far, this is clear. That's what it means that a door of four tefachim, matzel, it saves all the other doors from becoming tamei, providing that the other doors are less than four. If all the doors are less than four, or all the doors are more than four, as we said before, then there's no reason to believe, to take for granted, or indication which door he's going to use, and therefore they are all tamei. The big question in this sugya is going to be, what happens if the size of the corpse is larger than four tefachim? Let's call him Oig Melech HaBashan. Oig Melech HaBashan was a giant. He was a goy. And therefore we cannot be talking about Oig Melech HaBashan the goy, but a type of person who's, we'll call him Oig Melech HaBashan because of his size. A big person. And such a person cannot fit through a door of four tefachim, even if you tried. There's two ways of getting him out. Either by dismembering him, by cutting him into pieces, which is clearly not something we're going to do, or you have to widen one of the doors. You have to break open one of the existing openings, or make a new opening, but it's comfortable to assume that a person would break open an existing opening and make it wider to allow the person to come out. So that's clear that if you have one doorway which is actually wide enough to let this person out without having to break anything, that's the doorway which safe to melotzes. All the other doors are tohir if the doors are closed, even if they are wider than four tefachim, because it's absolutely taken for granted. The question is, what happens if no exit whatsoever is able to allow this person out? You have to break open a doorway, and the other doorways, that means no doorway can let him out. One doorway is four tefachim wide. Do we say that in the same way as with a regular person, a regular corpse, if one doorway is four tefachim, it saves all the doorways that are less than four tefachim? Do we say the same would apply with an Oig Melech HaBashan? If one doorway is four tefachim, then all the other doorways that are less than four tefachim are going to be tahir? Or do we say no? Say that, just that, when do we say that a doorway of four saves the rest? That's if we can assume he's going to leave from here. But if we cannot assume that he's going to leave from here, then it will have the same halachas as if all the doorways are more than four, or all the doorways are less than four, that since you have to break a doorway, the only type of doorway that will save the rest of the doorways is only if it's large enough to let him out. In exactly the same way as with a regular mace, a corpse. Only a doorway that will let him out will save the tumah from the other doorways. So too, with Oig Melech HaBashan, only a doorway that's wide enough to let him out will save the rest. If it's not wide enough to let him out, even if it's four tefachim wide, and even if the others are less than four tefachim wide, all the doorways will be tamei. That's going to be the discussion in the Gemara. If all the doorways are four or more, then again, it's taken for granted that they're all going to be tamei. Even a regular mace, that you don't need to break anything, if all the doors are four, you don't know where it's going to go out. And if all the doors are less than four, you have to break one, you don't know which one, all the doors are tamei. So too here, it's clear that even if you have a mace like Oig Melech HaBashan, if all the doors are more than four and you don't know which one you're going to break open, they're all going to be tamei. The question is, if you have one door four and all the rest are less than four, what are you going to do then? Are you going to say, since four is not a size which has got any value, is not significant relative to Oig Melech HaBashan, then the four door is not going to save the other doors? Or do we say no? Since with a regular mace, the width of four saves those that are less than four, it will save them here as well. Let's see the Gemara inside again. The only time that if you have a giant corpse, it's going to save the other doors is if the door that he's potentially going to go out of is actually his size. But if one is four and the rest are less than four, since he cannot go out through the doorway of four, then it's not going to save the other doors. So if so, now we have a contradiction. You see clearly that even though the doorway of four tefachim by a regular person would save the other doors, because it's Oig Melech HaBoshon, it doesn't save the doors. So, and this is Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Why is it different to what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said before, that even if you have a glutton who's got an extraordinary and unusual appetite, that doesn't change the amount of food he needs to put for his Eruv. It's enough if he puts the food of an average person. So to here, why don't we say that the doorway of four will save all the tumah from all the other doorways as if it was an average person? Says the Gemara of Abaya, even though the question wasn't against Abaya, but Abaya is the one that quoted the Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So Abaya said, Hasam heichalevid. Abaya is going to answer, what do you want to do? Heichalevid, what are you expecting? When you've got a normal person and he's going to go out of the doorway of four because you do not need to break open a doorway, then of course, Seif Tomelotzeis, we take it for granted, is going to go through there and not through the smaller doorways. What are you suggesting here? That even though he's Oig Melech HaBoshon, we're taking it for granted he's going to go through the doorway of four? He can only get through the doorway of four if you dismember him. Hadumin Hadmayev Nafke, do you want to dismember him? You want to cut him up into pieces and take him out? Of course not. So you have to make a larger opening. And since you have to make a larger opening, then there's no significance in the fact that this doorway is for Tfachim. And therefore, this doorway will not save the other doors, and it's not a contradiction to what we saw with Eruv. Over here, we simply have no choice. Continues the Gemari Boyelohu. Pligi Rabbonon Olei, the Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Oiloi. Is there anybody who argues with Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Is there anyone who holds that with a doorway of four tefachim will save the other doors of less than four, even though the person we want to take out of this entranceway is Oig Melech HaBoshon, is somebody who cannot fit through the four? Says the Gemara, yes, Toshema, we learned to Omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yechanon. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. Even though Rabbi Yechanon can, in and of his own right, not argue with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he's an Amora and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is a Tana. But since Rabbi Yechanon held this way, we take it for granted there were other Tanoim who held this way. Oig Melech HaBoshon, Pischi Barbo. Even though you want to take an Oig Melech HaBoshon out of this room, if you have a doorway of four tefachim, it does save all the other doorways. And that's not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who said, with Oig Melech HaBoshon, Pischoi Kumilu'oi, only a doorway that will actually let Oig Melech HaBoshon out will save the other doorways. Says the Gemara, it's not to be taken for granted that Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Yechanon are actually arguing. Hasam de'ik psochim ktanim tuva. It could be that the only time that Rabbi Yechanon says that a doorway of four tefachim is enough, even though Oig Melech HaBoshon has to go out of it, and it's enough to save the other doors, is only talking about that all the other entranceways are less than four tefachim. Ve'ik echad dehavar bo, and one of them is four tefachim. Then devadei komarvich bahu komarvich. Then we take it for granted that the door that he's going to break open and widen is the one that's significant. It's four tefachim wide already, versus the others that are insignificant, that are less than four tefachim. And it could be that in that case, even Rav Shimon ben Elazar will agree. When Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, Pischoi kumiluoi, that the only type of door that will save the rest of the doors is only if Oig Melech HaBoshon can actually leave, that's talking about when all the doors are four or more. If all the doors are four and more, even if some are bigger, some are smaller, since they all already have some significant size, therefore, if you want only one door to be Tomei and all the rest to be Tohir, it must be that that one door will actually let the corpse out. If he doesn't let the corpse out, then if all the doors are larger than four, all the doors are going to be Tomei. In the same way as we said with a regular corpse, that if all the doors are four, or if all the doors are less than four, since we don't know which one you're going to break open or which one you're going to use to exit, all of them are Tomei. So if all the doors are more than four and you need to get Oig Melech HaBoshon out, again, we don't know which one you're going to break open. They're all going to be Tomei. The only case where Rabbi Yechanon says that even with Oig Melech HaBoshon, four tefachim is enough, is only when one door is four tefachim and all the rest are less. And then it's not because we can get Oig Melech HaBoshon out. If it's a regular mace, one door four tvachim, all the rest are less than four. Why does the door four tvachim save the rest? Because we take it for granted you're going to take out the mace from there without needing to break any opening. In the case of Oig Melech HaBashon, Rabbi Yechanan says the same applies, not because we're going to dismember him and take him out through that door. No. But when the ratio is one door four tvachim, the rest are less, we take it for granted that's the one he's going to widen and break open. Therefore, Sofa Tomei Lotzeis from there, all the rest are going to be tahir. However, in any other case where you haven't got, where either all of them are less than four or all of them are more than four, in that case, Rabbi Yochanan will agree to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that the only case that you can save all the other doors is if one of the doors is actually wide enough to let Oig Melech HaBashon out. Hocha, so too, regarding Eruv Nami, the same applies. Al Chad, for one measure of wine, Arbo, you have four measures of beer. How much wine do you have to, are you allowed to use, or do you have to use for an Eruv? We said a revias per meal. There's two revias altogether. So Sheikhor beer is going to need eight revias. Eight revias is two loig. Two loig is half a kav, which is exactly what we said before. When we asked how much beer, the kamo, how much beer do you need in order to be able to make an Eruv? And we said in the Gemara, eggs, that's as many eggs as you would eat in a meal, and that's sufficient for an Eruv. Continues the Gemara, we're going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we saw that in order to make an Eruv Tchumen, you need something that's called nourishment, satisfying. It's got to be mozoin. Water and salt are not satisfying, and therefore you cannot use it to make an Eruv. Hanoidir min amozoin, a second similar halacha. If somebody makes a vow not to have any benefit or not to eat, we should say not to eat any mozoin, anything that satisfies him, any sustenance, mutar b'mayim u'b'melach. Since mayim, water and salt, is not considered a species or a type of food which gives sustenance, therefore, even though he made a vow not to eat mozoin, he's allowed to eat these two, because these two are not considered mozoin. Ha'kol mili ikra mozoin. You see from the Mishnah that any other food item besides for salt and water is considered a species of sustenance. And therefore, if you made a neder not to eat mozoin, he's not allowed to eat any other food items. Leima teva tuvta de Rav u'Shmuel. This seems to contradict Rav and Shmuel. De Rav u'Shmuel de Omra Tarvayu, they both said, Ein mevorchin boire mine mozoinis. We have a special bracha for those food items that are species of sustenance. And Rav u'Shmuel said that you only make that bracha Elo al chameshes haminim bilvad, only on five species, which are typically translated not to be assumed that they are these species in contemporary terms. They are wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. And only those five species are called species of sustenance. Everything else is not called species of sustenance. If so, and somebody is noider min hamozoin, why is he not allowed to eat any food items which are not those five? Everything else should be mutter. Only these five are called mozin. Answers the Gemara, V'loy isivna chod azimna. Have you not already asked the question against Rav Shmuel elsewhere in Brochas Taflamet Zayin or Medalef? Like, why are you asking again? Says the Gemara, Leima tevet yuvtayu nami meha. You're right. We've already had one refutation against them, and now we have another one. Can we bring proof from our Mishnah against Rav Shmuel? Is this another question against them? Says the Gemara, no. Omer of Huna, Bo'imir kol hazon olai. In our Mishnah, it doesn't mean kol any mozoin. Somebody makes a neder, any species of sustenance that I'm not going to eat. And then the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to eat anything besides for salt and water. No. If somebody indeed used that formula, that any species of sustenance I'm not going to eat, the only food items he's not allowed to eat are these five Chameshes minei dogon. However, if he says kol hazon, anything that satisfies me, I'm not going to eat, then he's not allowed to eat anything, because all food items satisfy us, even if they're not species of sustenance. They do satisfy us, besides for melach and maim. Mayim u'melach hu d'loy zayni, only water and salt do not satisfy a person. Ha kol mili zayni, any other food items do satisfy a person. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rabbi Rabbar Chana, ki hava azilna, when us Talmidim used to go behind Basreid Rabbi Yechanon, used to go behind Rabbi Yechanon, lemeichel peira de ginoisa, to pick and eat the fruits of ginoisar. Ki avinon ben mea, when we were 100 Talmidim following Rabbi Yechanon, hava menaktinon nekol chad v'chad asara asara. Each one of us, 100 Talmidim, would each pick 10 fruits of ginoisar, which means between us we would have 1,000 fruits of ginoisar. Ki avinon be'asara, but when there were only 10 of us Talmidim, hava menaktinon nekol chad v'chad mea mea. Then each of us would pick 100 of these fruits, again, making up 1,000 fruits. V'chol me'o minayu, these fruits were so big that 100 of these fruits lo yehavu marzik lu tzona bas tlasa sa. 100 of these fruits could not fit into a huge basket which should contain 3 sa, which means there were 1,000 ginoisar fruits that were very, very large. V'havu ochelu lukulhu, Rabbi Yechanan would eat 1,000 of these fruits. V'omar, and he says, shvuosa, I can swear, d'lo yitoyim li ziyuna, that it didn't fill me up. It didn't satisfy me. So you see here that even though we're talking about fruits of Ginoisar, they didn't satisfy him. So you see that even though he didn't mention species of sustenance, he just mentioned ziyuna, which is zon, which is satisfying, we see that other fruits, even though he ate 1,000 of them, do not satisfy a person. So what species satisfy a person? Only the 5 species of sustenance. If so, we're back to our question in our Mishnah. When somebody says that I'm not going to have hana, I'm not going to eat the anything which is satisfying me, why are you not allowed to eat any food items? You see that fruits of Ginoisa did not satisfy Rabbi Yechanan. Why can you not eat them, even though you made the neder not to eat something that satisfies you? Says the Gemara, no. Of course, all food items besides for melach and mayim do satisfy a person. Even peres Ginoisa satisfy a person. Rabbi Yechanan didn't say they didn't satisfy me. What he said was, eimem mezoina. It wasn't food of sustenance. This is not, even though I ate 1,000 of them, it doesn't feel like I ate a species of sustenance, because indeed it's just a fruit. It's not bread. It's not one of the 5 species of grains. And therefore he said that it wasn't mozoin. But of course it satisfies, and therefore in the Mishnah where it says somebody made a neder, it's talking about when he makes a neder not to eat anything that satisfies a person. And indeed all food items are osur besides for melach and mayim. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Hun Omer Rav, or said in the name of Rav, Shvua, if somebody he makes an oath, Shaloi oichal kikar ozeh, I'm not going to eat from this loaf of bread. Ma'aruvin loibo, he's allowed to use this loaf to make an eruv. Even though he can't eat it, he's allowed to derive benefit from it. And therefore he can use it for an eruv. He doesn't have to eat it. As we said before, in the same way as a Yisrael is allowed to make an Eruv with Truma, and the Nozer is allowed to make an Eruv with wine, so somebody else is allowed to make an Eruv with somebody who made the Neder, a Shvuah, not to eat it, is allowed to make an Eruv with something that he's not allowed to eat. However, Kikar Zu Olai, if he says that I'm taking upon myself not to derive any benefit from this loaf, Ein Ma'arvin Leibo, then you cannot use it, because he's deriving benefit from this kikor by virtue of the fact that it's his eruv and it's allowing him to go another 2,000 amis. And since he made a shvuah not to derive benefit from it, he's not allowed to use it for an eruv. That's what it was said in the name of Rav. Meisei, we're going to ask a question on Rav from a braisa. Hanoider min hakikor. The first thing it says in this braisa is if somebody made a neder min hakikor from bread. Ma'aruvin loibo. That's what it says in the Braisa. At this point, we're just quoting these words in the Braisa. That somebody made a neder to abstain from a loaf, he's allowed to use it for an eruv. Says the Gemara, my love, can we not assume, de Omar Olai, that this quote in the Braisa is true, even if he says that I'm not going to have any benefit from it? And you see that even though he says he's not going to have any benefit from the loaf, he can use it for the Eruv, not like Rav said. Says the Gemara Loi. Do'omar zu. The Brice is only talking about when a person says, I'm not going to eat from this loaf, then you can use it for an Eruv. But if he says, I'm not going to have any benefit from the loaf, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. Like Rav said, Hachanami Mistabra. And logic dictates that that's what the Brice means from the next few words in the Brisa. It's still the Reisha, but it's the Sefer of the Reisha. It's the continuation of this first Halacha. Diktoni Sefer, the next words in the Brisa. Amosai, when is it true that I'm allowed to use this loaf? For the Eruv, Bizman She'omar Shvua Shaloi At Ameno. When he made the Shvua that he's not going to taste the bread. Only when he's not going to taste the bread, then you're allowed to still use it for an Eruv because somebody else can eat it. But had he said that I'm making a shvur not to have any benefit from the bread, then indeed he would not be able to use it. And that conforms with what Rav said. Aval Omar, Olai, if he said I'm not having any benefit from the bread, my, what are we going to assume that the Braisa holds, like we just saw and like Rav said, in that case, the Braisa will agree you cannot use it and have benefit from this loaf. Ihochi, if so, we have a problem with the next stage in the Braisa. Adotoni, when it says at the end of that Braisa, Kikor zu hektish. If a person said, I want this loaf of bread to be hektish, to belong to the Beis Hamikdash, Ein ma'arvin loibo, you're not allowed to use it for an Eruv. Lefisha ein ma'arvin begdeshes, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to have benefit from hektish. You're not allowed to use it. If you're right, that we said before, that not only if the loaf is hektish, you're not allowed to make an Eruv with it, but even if it's not hektish, and you just said that you're not going to have any benefit from the loaf, also you cannot use it from the Eruv, if we're learning in the Braisa the right, as we learned, to conform with what Rav said. And as we actually brought proof from the Braisa itself, that the Braisa said, Shvua Shaloi At Ameno, that it's only allowed to be used if you said you're not going to eat it, but if you said you're not going to derive benefit, you're not allowed to use it for the Eruv. If so, why did the Braisa go far off and say, if you made hektish, you can't use it for the Eruv? Stay local and say that, even if it's not hektish, if a person said, I'm not going to have any benefit from the loaf, also you cannot use it as an Eruv. Lifloik v'listener b'dida, which is a term used many places in Shas, that when a Braisa wants to show the polarities of halachas, in one case it's mutter, in another case it's osa, then we always prefer that the Braisa keeps the cases as similar as possible. Here, he's saying, you can make an Eruv in one case, you cannot make an Eruv in another case. When can you not make an Eruv? With hektish. When can you make an Eruv? When it's not hektish, and you said that you're not going to eat the bread. That's too far apart. If you want to bring a case where you cannot use the Eruv, don't run all the way to Hekdash. Say that I can use it for an Eruv if I just said I'm not going to eat the loaf, and you cannot use it as an Eruv if you said you're not going to benefit from the loaf. Listener, the listener, but didoy. The Braisa should have said, Bamed Dvorim Amurim, when can you use the loaf? De Omar Zu. When he says, I'm just not going to eat from the loaf. Avl Omar Olai, but when he says, I'm not going to have any benefit from the loaf, Ein Ma'arvin Loibo, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. Why did the Braisa speak about Hekdeshes? Omar Lachor Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is now saying, so what are you suggesting? You're suggesting that from the Braisa, in order to understand why the Braisa said that the case you cannot use it for the Eruv is when you made it Hekdesh, you want to assume that when ever it's not hektish, you can use it for the Eruv, even if you said that you're not going to have any benefit from it, you can use it for the Eruv. If so, we're going to have a problem with what the proof that we brought from within the Braisa. Otherwise, we said that the words in the Braisa, Amosai bizman she'omar shvua shelo yatameno, where it's explicit that the case that it says in the Reisha that you can use it is only when he said, I'm not going to eat the loaf, I'm not going to taste from the loaf. So it's almost explicit from the Braisa that when you said you're not going to have any benefit, that you cannot use it for the Eruv.
Omer lecha Rav Huna, what's Rav Huna suggesting? Elomai, kol heicha de oma olai ma'arvin.
Do you want to, Rav Huna, say that the Braisa holds that only when it's hektish you cannot use it, but when it's not hektish you can use it for the Eruv, even if you said that you're not going to have any benefit from the bread, kashir eisha? Then those words that we saw, that bizman she'oma shavua shelo yitameno, only in that case you can use it. So we have like a contradiction within the Braisa, says the Gemara. No, the Braisa itself is not a contradiction. We're going to read something else into the Braisa. Chisurei mechsur v'hochi ktoni. You have to add in, you have to read into the Braisa as follows. Hanoider min hakikor ma'arvin loibo. When you made a neder not to use a loaf, you're allowed to use it for the Eruv. V'afilu omar olai. You have to read into the Braisa, even in a case where you said, I'm not going to have any benefit whatsoever from the loaf, you can still use it for the Eruv. And that case is, Naseh ka'oimer shvua shalei atameno. It's not that the ratio that says you can use it for the Eruv is only on condition that the formula of your neder was, I'm not going to eat it. No. Even if you meant that I'm not going to have any benefit, it's as if you said that I'm just not going to eat it, and you can use it for the Eruv. So now the Braisa makes perfect sense. If it's not hektish, even if you made a neder not to have any hanor, you can still use it for the Eruv. When can you not use it for an Eruv? If you make it hektish. If you make it hektish, nobody can eat it. If nobody can eat it, you can't use it for the Eruv. So now the Braisa is well taken care of, but now we have a problem. According to how we just learned the Braisa, if somebody says, I'm not going to have any benefit from the bread, he's allowed to use it for the Eruv. That's contrary to what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that you're only allowed to use a bread for an Eruv if the neder he made was, I'm not going to eat it. But if you made a neder, I'm not going to have any anor, you're not allowed to. Now that halacha of Rav Huna in the name of Rav is contrary to the Braisa. Mikol mokim kashya l'Rav Huna. Okay, so you, Rav Huna, have taken care of the Braisa. How are you going to explain Rav? Answers the Gemara, Hu de Omar Rebbe Eliezer. Rav Huna is following Rebbe Eliezer. The Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer Oimir, Shvua Shaloi Oichel Kikarzu Ma'arvin Loibo. Kikarzu Olai Ein Ma'arvin Loibo. The Braisa says explicitly that Rebbe Eliezer holds that exactly what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, not like we just saw in the Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer holds that if you made a neder not to eat the loaf, then you can use it for an Eruv. You made a neder not to have hanor from the loaf, you're not allowed to use it for the Eruv. Asks the Gemara, Umiomer Rebbe Eliezer Hochi, could Rebbe Eliezer have said, like we just saw in the Braisa in his name? Votanya, we have another Braisa that seems to be a contradiction in Rebbe Eliezer. Zeaklel, Odom Oyser Atzmoy Boichel, if somebody prohibits, he makes a neder not to eat some food items, ma'arvin loibo, you're allowed to use it for the Eruv, because when he says, when a typical person is oyser atzmoy ba'oichel, then he says that I'm removing myself from food, typically all he means is not to eat food. What you normally do with food is eat it. So he's saying, I'm prohibiting myself to eat it. Oichel ha'nesar loy la'odom. If, however, a person, he prohibits himself, he makes a neder not to have any hanor whatsoever from the food, ein ma'arvin lehibo, he's not allowed to use it for the Eruv. That's the Tanakama in the Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer argues with the Tanakama and says, kikar zu olai, even if he says that I'm not going to have any hanor from the loaf, ma'arvin lehibo, he's allowed to use it for the Eruv. Kikar zu hektish, if he says that this loaf is hektish, then ein ma'arvin leibo, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. Lefisha ein ma'arvin leibekdeshes, you cannot make an Eruv with something that belongs to hektish. So you see a contradiction in Rebbe Eliezer. Answers the Gemara, trei tanoiv alibad Rebbe Eliezer. There seems to be a machloikas tanoim, what Rebbe Eliezer actually held. And Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, was following the earlier quote of Rebbe Eliezer, who says that if somebody's only made a neder not to eat the kikor, he's allowed to use it for the Eruv. If he made a neder not to have any anor from the kikor, he's not allowed to use it for the Eruv. Acha said, betrain Ravi Shichra, which is two quarters, which is half of two quarters of a kav, which is half a kav, which is two loig.
But the Gemara says against Rav Acha Veloihi, it's not the case. You cannot learn the halachas, the ratios of wine to beer for Eruv from wine to beer of carrying. Because regarding carrying, all that's important is that it's significant. Less than a revius of can eat it, like a regular person can drink the wine, a kohen can eat the truma. Sumchas Oimer Bechulin, Sumchas says that Yisrael is not allowed to use truma, he has to use chulin. And Sumchas didn't comment on whether Nazir is allowed to use wine or not, says the Gemara. Ma'arvin le Nazir b'yayin v'chulu. Masnisen k'loy d'loy k'beis Shammai. The Mishnah seems not to follow Beis Shammai. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Beis Shammai oimrim, ein ma'arvin le Nazir b'yayin uli Yisrael b'truma. A Nazir is not allowed to use wine, and Yisrael is not allowed to use truma. That's what Beis Shammai holds. Beis Shammai say that the person making the Eruv has to be able to eat the thing that he's making the Eruv with. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Ma'arvin l'Nazir b'yayin. Beis Hillel say, like it says in our Mishnah, a Nazir can use wine, Uli Yisrael b'truma, and the Yisrael can use truma. Omar len Beis Hillel l'Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel questioned Beis Shammai. You, Beis Shammai, say that you can only make an Eruv with something that the person who's using the Eruv can actually eat. Do you, Beis Shammai, not agree with me that a gadol, somebody who's over bar and bas mitzvah, and you have to fast on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat anything? What happens if a person wants to walk on Yom Kippur outside the Eruv? So you make an Eruv Tchumin, and it's fine. You, Beis Shammai, how can anybody rely on an Eruv on Yom Kippur? You cannot eat it on Yom Kippur. Omru lohen, Beis Shammai says, Avol, you're right. You're 100% right, you rely on an Eruv on Yom Kippur. Omru lehen. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Kashem Shema Arvin Legodl B'Yom HaKippurim, in exactly the same way as you allow a person to use an Eruv on Yom Kippur, Kach Ma'arvin LeNozir B'Yayin Uli Yisrael B'Truma. Why is that different to a Yisrael using Truma and a Nozir using wine? Answers the Gemara, or Beis Shammai will answer that Hosam regarding Yom Kippur, just before the onset of Yom Kippur, at least before that, on Erev Yom Kippur, just before Yom Kippur sets in, at least the person who's going to rely on the Erev could have eaten it. It was fit for him. But in the case of the Nazir and the Yisrael, Leka Suda Ruyam Mibayim, even before the onset of Shabbos, the Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma, and the Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. And therefore, it's not a good Eruv, says Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, Kaman. The quote that we just saw in the name of Beis Shammai, that says that you have to be able to eat it. But if you can eat it, for example, food items on Erev Yom Kippur, or any other food items on a regular Shabbos that do not have an issue of Truma and Nazir, then, of course, it's a very good Eruv, like we note with Beis Hillel. Why shouldn't it be good? Deloike Chananya. This is not the Beis Shammai that Chananya knew. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Chananya Oimer kol atzmon shel Beis Shammai lo yoyu moidim be'eruv ad sheyotzi mitosei v'kol klei tashmishav l'sham. Beis Shammai say there's no such thing as food representing a person for an Eruv. You want to walk an extra 2,000 amos, you have to be there. Not only do you have to be there, you have to take all your utensils, you have to take your bed there, and everything that you need, and everything that you would normally use on Shabbos, you take the whole thing there, be there when Shabbos comes in, and then you're kaina shvisa. It's as if this is your place, this is your home, it really is your home, you've taken your whole home here. Now you can walk 2,000 amos in any direction, but there's no such thing as bringing food items to represent you. That's the Beis Shammai that Chananya knew. So now we really have four opinions. We have Beis Shammai according to Chananya that says you have to bring your whole household there. You have Beis Shammai that we knew, not the Chananya's Beis Shammai, who says that the person himself has to be able to eat it. And therefore, Nazir cannot use wine. Yisrael cannot use truma. And then we have another case of Sumchas in our Mishnah that says that there's a difference between Nazir Leyayin and Yisrael Betruma, we're soon going to see. And then you have Beis Hillel, you have the Tanakam of our Mishnah that says that even Nozir le Yayin le Nozir and Truma for Yisrael is a good Eruv because somebody else can eat it. That's just a summary of where we're up to now. Says the Gemara, Keman Oz le'ahod Tanya. Based on the opinions that we've just seen, who is the author of the following Braisa? Which opinion is the following Braisa following? Erev b'shchirim. If when he made his Eruv, he was wearing black clothes. Loi yetze b'levonim. He went with his black clothes to the end of the 2,000 Amos to make an Eruv. And then when he actually left, he wanted to walk another 2,000 Amos, he actually left with white clothes. Then he's not allowed to go out with it. That means Erev b'shchirim. If he made the Eruv with black clothes, he's not allowed to leave and walk the extra 2,000 Amos with white clothes. B'levonim, if he was wearing white clothes, lo yetze b'shchirim, he's not allowed to go out with black clothes. Come on, who's that following? Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Chananya hiva libud b'shamay. It must be Chananya's b'shamay, where according to Chananya, everything that you need has to have been with you when you made the Eruv. Since when you made the Eruv, these clothes were with you and not these clothes, then the whole Eruv is invalid. You can't go out with any clothes, but the Eruv is invalid. Because if you want to leave with white clothes, and the white clothes were not with you when you made the Eruv, only the black clothes are with you, then you haven't taken everything that you need. The Eruv is invalid. Says the Gemara, Ulechananya b'shchoirim udala yotza b'levonim yotza. If we're right, then the term in the Braisa doesn't seem that way. The Braisa seems to say that when you made the Eruv, you're wearing black clothes, you're not allowed to go out with white clothes. But it seems that with black clothes, you are allowed to go out. Which means that the Eruv was a good Eruv, you're just not allowed to go out with different clothes. That doesn't seem to conform with the Bishamai we just mentioned. Ha b'levonim yotza, ha omar ad sheyotzi mitasa yuklei tashmishei lesham. According to the Bishamai of Chananya, then the Eruv is not valid because the clothes that you needed were not there with you. Hachi k'omar. No, you have to read into that braisa differently. Erev b'levonim, if you had the white clothes with you when you made the Eruv, v'hutzuch l'shchoirim, and you need black clothes, af b'levonim lo yetze, he's not allowed to go out even with the white clothes. Which means the whole Eruv is not valid. Keman, who's this following? Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Chananya hi v'alibud beis shamay. It follows like we just said, it follows Chananya's beis shamay, that says that if you don't have everything you need with you, when you at the place of the Eruv, when Shabbos comes in, the whole Eruv is not valid. Continues the Gemara, Sumchus Oymer Bechulin. As we introduced, Sumchus said that Yisrael is not allowed to use Truma. Sumchus does not comment on whether a Nozer is allowed to use Yayin. Says the Gemara, V'ilu le Nozer b'Yayin, lo pligi. It seems that Sumchus agrees with the Tanakama that a Nozer is allowed to use wine, but a Yisrael is not allowed to use Truma. Maitam, why should it be true that a Nozer can use wine? That Nozer cannot eat it, according to Sumchus. It's not good enough that somebody else can eat or drink it. The person making the Eruv has to be able to eat or drink it. The Nozer is not allowed to drink the wine, no less than the Yisrael is not allowed to eat the Truma. Says the Gemara, no, there's a fundamental difference between Truma and Yayin le Nozer. Efsher de Mitchil Anizrei. There's something called being Shoyl, which means going to a Chochem and nullifying, undoing the neder. A Nozer can come with a good claim to a Chochem. In Maseches Shvuos and Adorim will discuss exactly how this works, but a Nozer is allowed to come to a Chochem, and in some circumstances the Chochem will say, I'm undoing your Nazirus. You're not a Nozer. And since the Chochem can undo the Nazirus, then for all intents and purposes, potentially, the Nozer could drink this wine. He doesn't actually have to undo the Nazirus, but he could undo the Nazirus, so potentially he could drink the wine, therefore it's a good Eruv. However, Truma, Yisrael is never allowed to eat Truma. Asks the Gemara, Yochet Truma Nami. You're right that Yisrael is never allowed to eat Truma, but why can I not undo the Truma? In the same way as I can undo the Nazirus, one can also come to a Chochem and explain why you want to undo the Truma, and the transaction of making part of the food items Truma can be undone. Truma Nami Efshe de Mitchel Ilavei. You can be Shoyl, you can undo, you can request a nullification of the Truma.
And therefore, even for Yisrael, potentially, he could eat the Truma food. Why is it not a good Eruv, according to Sumchas? Says the Gemara, because it doesn't help you. You're going to undo the Truma. What's going to be left? Food that Truma hasn't been taken. You can't eat that either. E mitchilalo hod relativlo. It's going to go back to the status of Tevel, of food that's not been taken Truma. You're also not allowed to eat that. And therefore, you still can't use it for the Eruv. What have you gained? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what I've gained. Because I can take Truma from elsewhere. I can say this food item here is Truma. Okay, so I want to now undo the Truma. And you're going to say it's Tevel? No, because what I'll do is I'll say that the food items that I've got in my home will be Truma for this food. And then it won't be Tevel and Israel can eat it. Says the Gemara, V'lifreish alo mimokim achir. He can take Truma from different food elsewhere, and then he can eat this food. And if so, then even Truma for Yisrael potentially could be eaten if he undoes the Truma. Says the Gemara, Lenechshadu Chaverim. Chaverim are people who are particular with all these halachas of Trumas and Maishas. And Tum and Taira, they're people who are very stringent with these halachas, and they keep to what they're supposed to be doing. Lenechshadu Chaverim Litzraim Shaloi Min Hamukuf. We do not accuse or suspect that somebody with Yiras Shemayim is going to take Truma elsewhere, which means I want to eat this food. I've undone the Truma. It's now Tevel. I want to eat it. It's my Eruv. I need to be able to eat it. So I'll say that the Truma, the food I have in my house will be Truma on this. No. Chaverim don't do such a thing. It's called Shaloi Min Hamukuf. You shouldn't take Truma from something that you cannot see in front of you that's not with this food. You have here a bunch of fruits. You can say that the part on the right is Truma and the rest will be allowed to be eaten. But to say the part I have elsewhere will be Truma, that you shouldn't do. One of the reasons is because maybe when you're saying it, that food doesn't even exist anymore. You can't see it in front of you. And that's one of the reasons you're not allowed to do that. If so, if a person's not going to do that, then we're back to our original issue. You have Truma. Undoing the Truma makes it Tevel. Making it not Tevel by taking Truma elsewhere, you cannot do. So therefore, Sumcha says that Yisrael cannot use Truma for his Eruv. Says the Gemara, I've got another solution. V'lifreish alom minei obey. This whole Eruv was Truma. Why? Because I had lots of fruits, and I had to separate a whole bunch of fruits for Truma, for those fruits, and this is the Truma. Says the Gemara, you know what we'll do? We'll first undo that Truma. So all those other fruits will be Tevel. I want to be able to eat these fruits. I'll minei obey within this bunch of fruits, I'll say that the little bit on the right side of these fruits is going to be Truma, and it's going to be the Truma for the rest of these fruits, and then all the rest I can eat, and then it can be my Eruv. V'lifrei shalot, take Truma from this Tevel, minei obey, from within itself. What are the Chaverim not allowed to do? You cannot take Truma elsewhere so that these fruits should not be Tevel, but I can take part of these fruits to be Truma. Says the Gemara, Deles Boshiura. You have exactly enough fruits here that you can use for your Eruv, and exactly as many apples as you need, or let's just for argument's sake, exactly as many apples as you need for your Eruv. If you're going to take Truma part of it, then what you have left for you to eat is insufficient for an Eruv. And therefore Yisrael is not allowed to use Truma for his Eruv. Or my Poska, says the Gemara, I don't understand. The Mishnah, where Sumchas in the Mishnah says that Yisrael is not allowed to use Truma, you're telling me the only time that's correct, that Yisrael is not allowed to use Truma, is if you have exactly enough fruits for the Eruv, that even if you are to undo the Truma, you would not be able to take the 2% that you need, or even less than 2% at a pinch for Truma, and the rest will be sufficient for Eruv. That's the only case that the Mishnah is correct. Because if there was that little bit more fruits, an extra 1 or 2%, then already, according to Sumcha, so Yisrael will be allowed to use the Truma. Ella, we have to have another explanation why Sumchas is differentiating between Truma and Yain Lenozer. Ella Sumchas Sova Lokra. Bonon Sumchas holds the Omar Kol Dover Shumishum Shvus Gozru Oleo Beinash Moshes. Anything which is an Isadur Abonon to do, there's a discussion. Did they also say it's Osa Beinash Moshes, which is twilight? It's as Shabbos is coming in and that whole period of time, those few minutes, it's a sofik whether it's already Shabbos or not. And the question is if the gezeiros of the Chachomim applied even in that window of time. According to Sumchus, he's going to hold that they do apply. Question that we have to ask ourselves is the ratio of 1-4 that we're discussing, wine to beer, it's only undiluted wine. To beer, we said, was 1-4 regarding carrying on Shabbos. As far as Eruv is concerned, we're talking about diluted wine. Diluted wine carrying on Shabbos, the measure of diluted wine is exactly revi'ah, it's exactly the same as Shechor. So there's a big problem here. How can you compare the ratio of 1-4 of undiluted wine to beer from carrying on Shabbos to the measure of Eruv, where we're talking about diluted wine, and diluted wine, even in Hilchos Shabbos, wine and beer is the same shir, then how can the Gemara say that, or at least in the Havamin of the Gemara compared wine to beer as 1-4, where would that come from? We're talking about diluted wine. It's a very big problem here. The Roshash, the Sfasemes discuss it, and we can't go into it at length. We explain the Gemara at face value, but it's a point which one has to be aware that it's a point to ponder. Continues the Gemara. And now we're moving on to Tmorim, to dates. Asks the Gemara, Tmorim Bekamo. How many dates do you need in order to be enough for an Eruv? Omer of Yosef, Tmorim Bekav. The amount of dates you need is a kav, a measure called a kav. Omer of Yosef, Menoa Minelo. I'll bring you proof that for dates you need a kav. And he's not actually going to bring a proof from dates, he's more going to bring a proof from dried figs and the relationship between dates and the dried figs. Ktoires that was going to be used, that was used on Yom Kippur for the Avoida, how big is fistfuls, is chofnov? Every kohen, the size, his size of his hands. V'hashoysa m'loy lugmov b'yei makipurim. On Yom Kippur, one's not allowed to eat or drink. How much is one not allowed to drink? A cheekful of drink. How much is that? It's individual, every person, according to his size. And how much food you need to put down as an Eruv is dependent on every person according to the appetite and the eating habits of the person who's making the Eruv. Who's this following? Come on. Omer Abzeira Sumchasi. It must be following Sumchas. To Omer, he holds my dechozi leiboinon. It doesn't mean the amount that he's eating, it means the type of foods. For example, Truma. Truma is only allowed to be eaten for a Kohen, not for a Yisrael. Sumcha says, a Kohen is allowed to use Truma, Yisrael not. That's what the Mishnah means, that Mozin Shtei Sudas Le'erov, it doesn't mean how much he's eating. It means, is he allowed to use Truma? Depends who you are. If you're a Kohen, yes. If Yisrael not, according to Tanakama, even Yisrael is allowed to use Truma because it's potentially edible for a Kohen. Sumchas argues and says, "B'mozin shtei sudes le'eruv, it's hakoyin lefi mashehu odom. You're a kohen, you can use it. You're not a kohen, you cannot use it." Continues the Gemara, "Leima pliga de Shimon ben Elozo. Could it be that that Mishnah is arguing with Shimon ben Elozo? The Tanya, we've already seen Shimon ben Elozo. Shimon ben Elozo, Emir, ma'aruvin lechoyle ulezokin kedei mezoinei. A sick person, an old person, whose habits are that he eats less food, if he makes an eruv, then he can put down less food. Ularavton, and for a glutton, besuda beninis. For him it's enough to have a suda beninis. An average, whatever an average person would eat for two meals, that's as much as you need for an Eruv. And you don't need to have as much food as he is typically, that he would typically eat. Beninis shel kol odom. A suda beninis lekol odom is enough even for a glutton. And this seems to contradict what we just saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that regarding Eruv, every person for what he is. So it's true that regarding the Choyle and the Zokin, indeed, whatever they are, whatever they need, that's what they need to eat. A glutton, for example, why don't we say the same? Every person according to his needs. And since the glutton always eats more, he should need more for the Eruv according to the Mishnah that says Hakoy Lefi Mashu Hu Adam. Answers the Gemara, Tirgama, Achayla, Vezokin. No. The Mishnah that says,
that hakol lefi ma shehu adam, it just depends on who he is, and that's enough, is achayla uzokin, that a sick person, an elderly person, who indeed they themselves need less than the average, you can make an eruv with less than the average. You're going to ask a question, why don't you use the same rule for a glutton? No. A glutton does not have to have an eruv of the size of his own appetite for a different reason. Not because we don't hold of the rule, every person according to what he is. No. But because we disregard the unusual habits and the unusual appetite of this person is totally disregarded. Aval Ravson botlo daito itzel kol odom. The fact that he's got this strange and unusual habit of overeating, we totally disregard it, and therefore, even for himself, he's allowed to use two sudais from an average person. However, a sick person, an elderly person, there's nothing unusual about that. There's nothing to disregard about them. And therefore, we say that they can use for an eruv according to their own eating habits. Continues the Gemara. Ulekoyen bebeis hapras. We learnt in the Mishnah, another halacha, that even though midrabonon, if you have a beis hapras, which is a field where we have a sofik, whether there's little fragments of bones, the size of a so'ira, a kernel of barley, that's on the surface of the field, is a kohen allowed to walk through this field? That's the question. And we saw in the midrabonon he shouldn't. Nonetheless, if you put the eruv for a kohen in this field, the kohen is not allowed to go to a place where there's dead people. If you put an eruv for the kohen in this field, the Mishnah said it's a good eruv. The question is why? Says the Gemara, the Omer of Yehuda Mashmuel, Menapeach Odom Beisa Pras V'Hoylich. A person is allowed to go through, even a Kohen is allowed to go through a Beisa Pras and blow his way through it. Blow away any potential fragments of bones, and then he's allowed to walk through it. So since the Kohen himself is allowed to walk through the Beisa Pras by blowing away any of these potential fragments, therefore, a kohen, putting an eruv in the beis hapras for a kohen is something that is permitted, and therefore the eruv is a good eruv. Reb Yehuda bar Ami mishmeid Reb Yehuda Omar beis hapras shenidaish tohir, which is another halacha, that if the beis hapras, if this field that has a sofik about these fragments lying on the surface, if it's been well trampled already, then a kohen is allowed to walk through without any need to blow anything. It's considered tohir, because even if there were little fragments of bones left, since it's been trampled, any piece of bone would be less than the size of a kernel of barley, and therefore it would not make the kohen tomei, and the kohen is allowed to walk through it. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.